Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. Memorial Day. This is the Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. We're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, where Colin was right and where Colin was wrong. We have plenty of both. Joy Taylor is joining me on this Memorial Day. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. Happy Memorial Day, everyone.
Happy Memorial Day, everybody. Really like today's show. You know, I've found over the course of my lifetime, people decide what they like, and they'll nitpick stuff they don't like. Obviously, we all support stuff we like, but you'll nitpick stuff you don't like. Republican will always find a way to nitpick a Democrat, and a Democrat will always find a way to find the imperfections in the Conservative Party. It's the way it is. Just be honest. Some of you don't like the NBA. Be honest. You just don't like it. That's fine. But stop using the "there's no parity in this league" argument. The final four teams were a team from Canada, small market Portland, small market Milwaukee. That's not parity. If you love college football, want to make a bet, Alabama-Clemson play for the championship again. But you like college football. So you, oh, yeah, I love same teams every year. Now, I just happen to like college football, and I like the NBA. But I was thinking about this morning. We have this narrative now that Kevin Durant ruined this league. It's so great. Everybody was having a chance to win, and Kevin Durant came around. Now it's Kevin Durant's fault. Yeah, yeah. Nonsense. I went back to 1949. That's 70 years in the NBA. 70. Lakers 16 championships, Celtics 17. 33 of 70 championships. Two teams. That would be like if Bama and Clemson win another 25 years. By the way, in the 80s, Lakers got to the Western Conference Final all but 2 years. In the 60s, it was the Celtics and everybody else. Michael Jordan's Bulls won 6 titles in the 90s. It would have been 8 if he didn't decide he wanted to go hit a curveball in single A or double A baseball. I'm going to give you 2 stats that are fairly remarkable. And they will not include LeBron James. Because there's another guy that gets blamed for moving around to new teams and killing the parity. Listen to these two. In the last 21 finals, that's over 2 decades, Kobe, Tim Duncan, D-Wade, and Steph have been in 21 straight finals. And I'm not even counting LeBron. Those 4 guys have taken part in the last 21 finals. Oh, no, no, that's not even the best stat. In the last 62 years, 54 of the last 62 NBA finals have had these 5 men involved. Red Auerbach, Phil Jackson, Pat Riley, Greg Popovich, and Steve Kerr. 87%. And you think Kevin Durant and LeBron, because they chose cities, are hurting the league? It's nonsense. KD didn't ruin anything. The NBA is set up for dominance. It's got the fewest starters. By the way, college basketball, even with the one and done, the top 2 and 3 seeds dominate. Go look at the last 30 champions. It's mostly the same teams, rare outliers. But in baseball, pitching dominates the sport. And pitching arms get injured a lot. They get fatigued. Chris Sale, nobody could hit him last year. Chris Sale for the Red Sox this year. Can't get anybody out. Can't get anybody out. And his ERA is doubled. That's what happens to pitchers' arms. That doesn't happen to Steph's arm. That doesn't happen to Klay Thompson's arm. That doesn't happen to Kevin Durant's arm. In football, injuries really help parity. Even now we have a current NFL dynasty, but Carson Wentz goes down. Generally, you don't have a Nick Foles to win it for you. So when I look at the NBA, just admit it. The same college football fan who bemoans the lack of parity, we're going to get Alabama and Clemson again this year. The final four in the NBA Was Portland? I haven't seen them in a Western Conference Finals in a long time. Milwaukee? Good Lord, when's the last time you saw them in the Eastern Conference Finals? Toronto's now in the finals. That doesn't happen. And Golden State. Sometimes, just admit it, Democrats and Republicans, you're going to nitpick the other party. You're imperfect, but you kind of glaze and gloss over the stuff about your party to find the stuff to nitpick the other people. If you don't like the NBA, that's fine. Stop with a parody argument. It's never had it, and it used to be worse. Check out the 60s and the 80s and the 90s. All right, we have a final in the NBA. Let's shift gears. It's Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors, and they will take on whoever is starting Steph Curry and the Warriors. I like Golden State. I think everybody likes Golden State in this series. But we have a precedence here. We have a precedence for an upset. The Dallas Mavericks against the Miami Heat. Now let's go back and remember what the Dallas Mavericks were. They had the components to win a championship. They had one go-to star, Dirk Nowitzki. There was never any doubt with the Dallas Mavericks who was taking the shot. For Miami, Bosch, Wade, LeBron, Ray Allen, little indecision. Not with Dallas. Dallas had an excellent head coach. No indecision, late in possessions. Smart veteran players all over the rosters. Absolutely no drama. And do you remember? These two teams played twice in the regular season, Dallas and Miami. Dallas won both. So let's look at the Toronto Raptors. Excellent head coach. They come in like Dallas as massive underdogs. There's absolutely no drama with this team. Like Dallas, they have nothing but smart, veteran, cagey players. There is no indecision who to give the ball to at the end of games or possessions. And oh, by the way, they played the Warriors twice this year in the regular season. Oh, and they won both. We have a precedent. These are the Dallas Mavericks. Now, I'll still take Golden State. But don't kid yourself. Talent doesn't always win in this league. Dallas, like these Raptors, one star, good coach, lots of veterans, the star with no indecision, late possessions, had beaten them in the regular season. And that Dallas team had Jason Kidd and Tyson Chandler and Sean Marion and all these veterans. And this team's got Mark Gasol. They got him at the trading deadline. It's Kyle Lowry, it's Serge Ibaka, it's Danny Green. By the way, Vegas heavily favors the Warriors, but they do expect a six-game series. And I expect a 5-6-game series. Now, here's something else these Raptors have in common with the Dallas Mavericks. And right now, a Raptor fan watching me is like, hey, Colin's on our side. He likes us. Well, here's the problem. When Dallas won that championship, nobody talked about it outside of Dallas because that was all about LeBron winning his first title or LeBron losing a championship. And if Toronto wins this series, remember, all champions are not equally interesting. If Toronto wins this championship, it is not going to be about the Raptors. It's going to be about Golden State either wins the title, another one, or they gagged as a heavy favorite. You have to understand this. Not all champions are interesting. Andre Agassi, Serena Williams are a lot more interesting than Pete Sampras. I'm looking at the ratings a couple of weekends ago at the PGA Championship. Brooks Koepka. It was the lowest rating in 20-some years. He's just not that interesting. He just happens to be great. So much like the Mavericks, even if the Raptors win, the immediate story will be about the Warriors, and the second story will be about will Toronto's best player leave and go west. But you won't care. You'll be in Canada. You'll have won. Then you'll start rebuilding. But there is a precedent for this, and I do think we'll have a feisty series because the Mavericks and the Raptors have several components necessary to make it interesting. Good coach, underdog, resilient veterans, superstar with no indecision, late in possessions, and they beat that team twice in the only two times they played in the regular season.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Warren Buffett's a legendary investor, and he always talks about every generation is going to have a better life than the previous generation, better health care, better travel. I was somebody that grew up, I struggled early, but I never enjoyed the struggle. My struggle was real, and then I started getting what I would call professional mobility. I moved around the country, and the upside to it is that you can join really cool companies, companies with momentum, companies that have already gone through the initial struggle of growth, and it's a great life. I've joined companies that are established, companies that are good. That is the upside to upward mobility. That's the upside to professional mobility. You know, like at Fox, I came here. I didn't have to deal with the Simpson years when they were just starting, mid early 90s when they just got the NFL and Best Damn Sports Show. And they were young and they were experimenting and they weren't the company they are today. And I joined the company and it's formed and it's profitable and it's got good management and we, you know, it's stable and it's like, yeah, it's been great. But the downside to that is, you always kind of feel like you're a little bit of an outsider. You don't get the inside company joke. It's like they have a private handshake at some of these companies, and I'm not involved. The downside to professional mobility is you don't go to the 4th of July, you know, party in your neighborhood like everybody else has for 68 straight years. You're in another part of the country. And I will admit, part of me is jealous about that. Yeah, I don't get that moving around the country. So Kevin Durant is a classic example of mobility. Now, the upside to his mobility, he joined a really good team. They'd already gone through the Monte Ellis Steph trade. They had the coach in Steve Kerr. They had the young players. So he didn't have to go through the early struggle of Golden State. Not like they were terrible, but there were struggles. They moved through a coach. They moved through some players. And there's a lot of controversy trading Monte Ellis. And Kevin he didn't have to deal with that. The struggle wasn't real. He just caught on the surfboard when they were already riding that wave. And this weekend, he was at a press conference, and they were talking about the team, and he said this.
How have you thought about their play?
Our play?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
I think we've been playing great.
Do you feel like there is that almost split where it's like you and them?
Most definitely. I mean, it's been that way since I got here. It's the Warriors and KD, you know what I'm saying? And I understand that. And I felt like my teammates and the organization know exactly what I've done. But I also know that a lot of people on the outside, you know, don't like to see us together. And, you know, I get it.
Kawhi is embraced as the new guy because he's giving Canada something they've never had, and he was traded there. Whereas Kevin Durant, Golden State won before him, after him, and he's seen as more of a mercenary. And neither one of these is necessarily right. Yes, it's great that Derek Jeter and Kobe stayed with the same team. Yeah, it's easy when you're the Lakers in the 90s and beyond and you're the New York Yankees. But if Derek Jeter started in Kansas City or Pittsburgh, they probably wouldn't have been able to afford him and Derek Jeter would have moved to the Yankees or the Red Sox. I'm not saying upward mobility is better. I'm saying there are two ways to do this in life and in sports and in your professional career. Stay with the same company forever and go through the struggles and the roller coaster. And it is perhaps more pure. And you will have these bonds and these lifetime relationships that are just a mile deep and worthwhile. And they resonate your entire life. You stay in your hometown. Those high school reunions are real. And then there's the people that bounce around the country. And they don't have to go through a lot of those struggles. But they're not quite as deeply embedded in the community, in the company, and they don't get invited to the same Memorial Day barbecue or 4th of July barbecue that family does. I'm not saying either is right. There are great, substantial, psychological, emotional benefits to both. But what Kevin Durant is experiencing is actually, and I know he's a superstar, but it's something many of you watching and listening today have experienced, and it's real.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
All right, we do it every day. For those of you who have never watched our show, every Monday at this time, 11 o'clock Eastern, what time is it? 10 o'clock Pacific, 1 o'clock Eastern, whatever time that would be in Albuquerque. Colin right, Colin wrong. I tell you where I whiffed last week and where we were right last week. Here we go.
Where Colin was right?
I've said this all year long. There was a poll in the middle of the NBA season of the three guys you'd start your franchise with. It was all centers. And I said, I'm not starting my franchise with centers in 2019. Giannis, once again, superstar Giannis, superstar Kawhi, who got marginalized, the center. They don't control the tempo. They don't have the ball in their hands. I don't ever trust a big guy late at the free throw line. And they don't shoot threes, and we've moved analytically into a three-ball league. And by the way, Giannis only shot 37% in this series when Kawhi guarded him. I just think basketball today, I want to build around guys who can put the ball on the deck and guys who can shoot. And even if you can't shoot like Ben Simmons, you can get the ball to shooters. I don't believe centers are who I would build around.
Where Colin was wrong.
The baby dinosaurs, I was a doubter all year. I kept saying, okay, who's your second scorer? Who's your third? How are you going to get to the finals? You don't have it. But I will say this. The Celtics were dysfunctional. The Sixers are immature. The Bucks are too young. And they are a well-coached, resilient group of adults. And it's not like they didn't have a little stress in this series. All their series, they'd lose a road game. But maturity matters. They also made a very nice move at the deadline to get Marc Gasol. Maybe gave up a tad of their depth to get him. And in the end, I was wrong.
Where Colin was right?
Chris Middleton. I kept saying, Milwaukee, listen, I like him. He's a great story. I mean, the kid has really battled. But if he's your second best player, that doesn't feel like a finals team to me. It certainly doesn't feel like a championship team. Well, this series, he got exposed. He scored 11, 12, 9, 36, 14. That's not dependable. He only scored 15 or more once in this series. And I've said this for years in the NBA. It's not just about your star. If it's just about your star, Michael Jordan would have won every year he played, and Magic Johnson would have won every year. This league's about who's your number two. Klay Thompson, I mean, when KD's healthy, Steph is your number two. Magic, Kareem was your number two. So the reality is with Chris Middleton, he may develop into a reliable two, but right now on a championship team, he's probably a three, and that's why Milwaukee is watching the finals.
Where Colin was wrong.
Kawhi Leonard. I mean, I always thought he was really talented, but he's got an odd personality. He doesn't really pass. He doesn't communicate a ton. He just never felt like a guy. He's kind of an enigma. He's a mystery. He couldn't even get along in San Antonio. Like, I'm like, everybody works in San Antonio. It's like everybody works for the Patriots, right? And I always just saw him as kind of an odd, enigmatic, super talented guy. Well, he was great in the fourth. I said this. If you gave him Kobe's personality physically, he's the closest thing I've seen to Michael Jordan. Hands, dexterity, both ends. Great in the fourth quarter, trustable at the free throw line. There is no disputing now. He is a top, I mean, seriously, he's a top three, maybe a top two player in the NBA.
Where Colin was right.
Never liked these 10-year contracts in baseball, especially when it's these Seattle, Minnesota, Cincinnati, the medium-sized markets. Sprinkle the money around. Give it to four and five different guys. Well, Robinson Cano didn't work with Seattle. The Reds are awful. Joey Votto with that huge contract. And Minnesota's fascinating. So this is the first year they haven't been locked in Minnesota to Joe Mauer's contract. And what were they the previous 7 years? Irrelevant. Have you noticed them this year? Best record in baseball. 10-game lead in the American League Central. I understand the Yankees paying huge money because the commerce and revenue they have, it doesn't matter for the Dodgers. It didn't matter for, you know, the big revenue teams. But when you're a Seattle, you're a Minnesota, you're a Padres. By the way, the Angels, they're not a huge revenue team. The Angels are out of it with Mike Trout. The Reds are out of it with Votto. The Twins move off Joe Mauer, sprinkle the money around, and they solve all those little issues they had. Never, ever, ever, like 10-year contracts. I guess I would swallow it if you're the Yankees or Red Sox, maybe massive revenue, but I think they're bad for teams long term.
Where Colin was wrong.
Oh, I thought the Steelers drama was all over. Well, hold on, we got a little bit of it. Joey Porter came out this weekend on the NFL Network and said Ben Roethlisberger has power, and he used it all for himself. I thought the drama was over. It was for 3 days. He said, listen. Terrell Davis on the NFL Network said, listen, John Elway used to go to management. He had power and give veterans time off because he thought they were getting beat up in practice. Ben Roethlisberger has the kind of power in Pittsburgh to get practices off for other guys, and he doesn't. Ben's into Ben. Here's what I'll say about Roethlisberger. He's polarizing. You can find seven guys to line up behind him and seven guys to criticize him. I don't like polarizing quarterbacks. As much as I like Ben, I'm not a fan of polarizing quarterbacks. I like my Bohr 4. I like my Russell Wilson. I like my Andrew Luck. I like my Jared Goff. I like my Tom Brady. I like boring. Ben needs to get more boring because he's in the news way too much.
Where Colin was right.
One of my mottos in sports, and kind of in life, but in sports, be aggressive. Sometimes be aggressive to a fault. If you want to be patient, get in retirement planning or chess. But in sports, be aggressive. Toronto's a great example of this. They were a number one seed, had the NBA coach of the year and an all-star in DeMar DeRozan, and they blew it all up. They fired their coach. Didn't have to. He won coach of the year. They got rid of their star for Kawhi, who's potentially a one-year rental, and they went at the trading deadline, very good team, and they went and got Marc Gasol to give up some of their depth. They went super aggressive, and it paid off. Dwayne Casey was coach of the year. They gave him the award and then ran him out the door. They didn't have to do that. I loved it. This is a prime example. Toronto was good enough to sell out every game. They get excellent ratings. They are loved in the city. And they said, no. We're going to get aggressive here. We're going to go for it. If you want to be patient, play chess, or get into retirement planning. In sports, three words. Go for it. Toronto didn't, was rewarded.
Where Colin was wrong.
I apparently like Klay Thompson way more than everybody else. He didn't make the NBA first team. He didn't make the All-NBA second team. He didn't make the All-NBA third team. Let me get this straight. A-plus shooter, A-plus personality, A-plus low drama, A-plus defender, and he's a fourth team guard? I just like him more than everybody else does. Now, he had a bad December, and he wasn't great in October, but who's watching the NBA in October and early December? I mean, outside of scouts, not many of us. I still consider Klay Thompson the one player in the NBA. There's one that fits on every team. There's not a single NBA executive who said, two-guard, Klay Thompson. Everybody would not take Steph because they have a point guard. Steph wouldn't work in Houston with the guys they have. I don't think Durant would work with everybody. But Klay works with everybody. Quiet, shooter, defender, smart, not going to argue about minutes, and didn't make one of the first three All-NBA teams.
Where Colin was right.
Jay Glazer this weekend saying the Rams now have genuine concerns about Todd Gurley's knee. The story came out last year. They were just, they weren't going to use him as much to rest him, and I just never bought into it. I'm like, timeout. Todd Gurley, next to Ezekiel Elliott, is the best running back in the league. And all of a sudden, late October last year, he just wasn't getting the carries. And it's what I said on the Super Bowl, why I tick, even though I thought the Rams had better players than New England, I'm like, I can't go into a Super Bowl and have no idea what's going on with Todd Gurley. Why is he on an exercise bicycle? Why did they get C.J. Anderson? I've always been, the Rams smartly downplayed this. But my feeling was, by late October, something's going on here. For the record, there were many people in the NFL that questioned why the Rams gave him that contract a year early. Rams may, according to this now, may regret it. Colin right, Colin wrong on a Monday.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Dan Wojcicki is a national NBA writer for the LA Times, known him for some time, and now The national writer, you are in the hub of it, baby, because the Clippers may lead for Kawhi Leonard, and the Lakers, I think, it's a little bit of a Hail Mary, but I think they land Jimmy Butler, and that's all guesswork. But let's start with Kawhi Leonard, because you're covering the story as much and as well as anybody. Let's just talk Raptors and Clippers, the teams vying for him.
Yeah, I think what's so interesting, Colin, about this free agency is that the two kind of clear suitors have done such a good job in their recruitment this year, right? So let's look at the Clippers start and what they needed to do to kind of get Kawhi Leonard.
Okay.
Right? They needed to establish a really good infrastructure. They had to establish stability. They had to stay in Southern California, obviously, is a big part of this too.
Yeah.
And then they had a really good year. They showcased great young players, feisty in the playoffs. They did a good job, I think, showing Kawhi that they wanted him. You know, as recently as game two of the Eastern Conference Finals, you saw Clippers executives kind of hanging around. And they've done a really good job, I think, on that. And they've made it a place where a credible free agent could go sign and nobody would say anything, right?
Right.
Nobody would make a fuss about it if he ended up
right.
with the Clippers. It'd be like, oh, that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Toronto, I think, they're sort of one-year addition. They had to show him culture. And they've showed him that that is a good basketball culture. And I think most importantly, they had to keep him healthy. And that was what he said in his opening press conference. It was like, I want to be healthy. I want to get to the playoffs and be like kind of optimized. And look at what we've seen. We've seen a historic playoff run.
And the Raptors bit the bullet a little bit on this.
They wore it, yeah.
They didn't love him missing 22 games.
No, and I think part of it helped in the fact that, you know, they played pretty well without him at times. Pascal Siakam and those guys, I think, did a really good job in the regular season without Kawhi. But in the playoffs, we've seen a different animal in this guy. We've seen him turbocharged, playing 52 minutes, guarding Giannis one night, you know, career high in rebounds in the playoffs the next, career high in assists. This guy has done it all. He's made a real stake at best player in the world. And I think, Colin, if you notice what Masai Ujiri said on the podium after they won it, it was what, Saturday, I think. I can't even get my days straight. It's the playoffs.
Yeah.
That Kawhi Leonard, we believe he's the best player in the world. And I think for Masai, wasn't an accident that he said that out loud. I think in that public stage to declare, Kawhi Leonard, you're the best player in the world, you play here, I think was a message not just for those fans in Toronto, but it was a message for Kawhi Leonard.
Dan Wojcicki joining us, LA Times national NBA writer. This is an interesting thing. Psychology is a factor,
totally.
Obviously. Kawhi was overlooked by Pac-12 schools.
Mm-hmm.
He was overlooked in the draft. Then he goes to San Antonio, and they are like, hey,
he's a system guy.
Yeah, fit into our system. There is a chip. And by the way, I totally get it, and he has earned every bit of my respect. But Kawhi doesn't have an ego, but man, does he want to be loved.
And I think he wants to be, I think he wants to be respected. And I think every player at that sort of level wants like a shot at that crown, right? Like best in the world. I think that does matter. And being regarded as at the very best at your craft. And he's been able to showcase this in this playoff run. And I think, you know, whereas the Clippers probably felt really, really good about Kawhi Leonard going into the playoffs, and I still think they feel pretty good about it, but they would have to feel less good. He's had moments there in Toronto, you know, a shot that hits the rim four times that's in the air for about a week, it feels like.
Yeah.
That's a moment, right? Standing on the podium with Kyle Lowry, like, that's a moment. I asked Kawhi Leonard a question post-game, sort of like, it's been 5 years since you've been to the finals. You know, considering everything you've gone through, what's it like to be here now? And he mentioned how Kyle Lowry, you know, was such a good teammate to him this season and kind of helped him get adjusted. And that was a messy situation, right?
Yes.
They made big kind of changes.
They fired the NBA coach of the year.
In the span of 2 months, they fired the NBA coach of the year. They hire a coach who spent most of his career coaching in the British Basketball League. and then they trade the most popular, most loyal player they've ever had in DeMar DeRozan, you know, for a guy who could maybe be a one-year rental who most of the league thought was gone.
This could have been a mess.
Yeah, and they've hit on all of these. Obviously, totally worth it. The risk, sort of the scared money doesn't make money, sort of kind of, you know, that has been what if anything, Masai Ujiri not getting enough credit this year for taking really big swings and you know, coming up big.
Great stuff. You also cover the Lakers. Now, when you say NBA national beat writer LA Times, that always meant you just cover the Lakers and occasionally went to a Clipper game.
We got a lot of people over there, so it's good. I'm able to kind of move around.
I'm going to throw it out here. Mm-hmm. I believe Jimmy Butler is a lot of teams' number two free agent. I think a lot of teams think, like, if we get him, great, but we want Klay, Durant, Kawhi. I think he's the Lakers' number one. I think they have to position themselves as, listen, you're our guy. He's famously likes L.A. Mm-hmm. If I said to you, all these free agents, who goes to the Lakers? Who's your guess?
I mean, I think Jimmy Butler seems like the safest bet. And it's for a lot of the reasons you just said, is that I think he's a plan B for a lot of teams. You know, when you look at Jimmy Butler, you see things like he's got Tibbs minutes on that body, right? Which is like his clock is ticking. Like, this is a guy who's played a lot of like high intensity basketball.
Hard practice guy.
Should be a better shooter. You wish you would want a better 3-point shooter, I think. You know, the career, I think, is around like 33-34%. You'd like that number to be a little higher, I think, for a star player. But what you saw in the playoffs, and one of the things that, you know, where I think this is the, there are a lot of reasons to not like Jimmy Butler. Obviously, the teammate stuff, and you know, the fact this is a guy who's left a lot of places, and teams have been kind of like, see you later.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's a concern. But what you saw in the playoffs, and what I think, there aren't that many guys who can body up a superstar, chest into a superstar, and go toe-to-toe with someone and play like they're better. There aren't that many guys who can be credible in those situations. Jimmy Butler's one of them. To me, I think he's a pretty good LeBron fit. I could see them poking around at some other guys. I think, like, Nikola Vucevic is a guy who's a really good player, not a super big star. I think he'd be a good LeBron fit. He's someone that I think is on the Lakers and the Clippers' radar. We'll see what that money looks like if you don't want to quite max out a guy. Giving Jimmy Butler a four-year max is a scary proposition.
Well,
that contract's going to look pretty bad at the end of it, but their clock's ticking over there, and they kind of got to go, and that's where I agree with you. They're in this – the Lakers, I think, are in this weird situation where they've got – two different masters that they're trying to serve. You have LeBron James, you know, an all-time great NBA player, maybe the best ever, tremendous winner. This is a guy who lives in the NBA Finals. His whole year is built towards getting to the NBA Finals, right? And then you've got a team, by and large, the rest of your core are guys that are 22, 23 years old who are learning every day, who are trying to go through mistakes and play through those things. I think this was a really big challenge for Luke Walton. It's going to be a huge challenge for Frank Vogel, is how do you coach a team that's trying to do two different things. You're trying to develop a young core, and you're trying to win now with the all-time great player who's at the end of his prime. To me, I still think the best path forwards for the Lakers is a trade, whether it's Anthony Davis, whether it's Bradley Beal, whether it's whoever else hits the market. There's going to be two or three names that aren't on the market now that will be, that we don't know yet, just the way things shake out. They need to turn some of those young guys, they need to get a more simplified plan, I think, and move in a clearer direction instead of trying to do everything.
Yeah, this is the Lakers' current flow power org chart. We wrote this down next. Instead of a success pyramid, it's a spider web that can't find its way.
John Wooden would not be happy with this.
No,
this
John not, Wooden would be like, oh, wait, time out. This is not going to work. All right, Dan Wojcie, L.A. Times sports reporter. He's the national NBA writer for the L.A. Times, a newspaper in America, by the way, that's hiring people. That's hiring dozens of people. Dan, great seeing you.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.